You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by OnTap Credit Union. And now, The Porchcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 110 of The Porchcast. It has been quite a bit of time since our last show, but we've got a full house here. We've got very excited to welcome back our co-hosts, Bryant Vanderweerd and Corey David. What's up, fellas? How you been?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. I feel like we should just this is just episode one. Where do we restarted? It's been long enough, unfortunately, that we just had to it's like when your subscription expires, you just got to start.
It's a reboot.
It's a reboot. The sequel is always better.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be a part of this Brady Bunch episode, you know, so we're bringing that back. And there's just so many heads on the screen. It's wild. We got a hydra of beer industry professionals ready to talk to you guys. So I'm looking forward to hanging with y'all for a bit.
Heck yeah. And now I am very thrilled to introduce our guests for the show. We've got Allison Wisniewski and Betsy Lay of Lady Justice Brewing. We are longtime friends and very stoked to have you guys on to chat about your big moves. But before we jump into it, I want to give a big thank you to our sponsors, because without them, we couldn't do what we do. So first up is OnTap Credit Union. OnTap Credit Union isn't your average financial partner. They make banking as easy as enjoying your favorite beverage while providing great financial advice in a friendly and welcoming environment. With OnTap, Colorado comes first, which is why they offer low loan rates for your cars, homes, credit cards, and more. And with OnTap's mobile app, you can have instant access to your accounts, whether you're meeting friends at a local brewery, out on the slopes, or wherever your next adventure takes you. Member owned, Colorado proud, federally insured through NCUA. Also, just a quick heads up to anyone who's listening, if you are interested in opening up a personal checking account with OnTap Credit Union, if you use the promo code PORCH, you get $150 to start your account. So that's pretty rad, huh? Who doesn't love free money? So be sure to use the promo code PORCH when you're starting your personal savings or checking account with OnTap CU, and you get $150 free. So
that'd be great. My bank account would be at $150. Let's do this.
I'm surprised you actually don't owe anyone. So it would be negative, you know.
Oh, no, you're right. It would probably be $142.38.
Sure. Gotta pay for a subscription. We'll dive into it with the payroll department here in a second. But let's just get into the show for now. Very stoked to have Betsy and Allison here. First and foremost, a big congratulations. You guys just moved locations. You just had your grand opening for your new location out in Englewood, Colorado. Tell us a little bit about how this opportunity came about.
We ran out of space at Colfax about 2 years ago. So we moved into that Colfax location right when COVID hit, March 15th, 2020. Yep. And about 2 years into it, we started running out of physical square footage for, you know, our distro and just people-wise. It was a small tap room. And about 6 months ago, I started seriously looking for a new location. And through a mutual contact, the owner of Sunroom Brewing, Matt, called me and said, "Hey, we've got to move out of state for some family stuff. We want you to be the ones to take over this space." And so started talking about that, looked for funding for a while, and finally moved in March 1st, and we opened our doors on March 20th.
We were just talking about that.
It was the easiest thing I've ever done in my whole life. Yeah.
We were just talking about that a little bit before the show opened. It's quite the quick turnaround for you guys from, you know, announcing the big move and then making it happen in less than a month. So tell us a little bit about, like, you know, that aspect of it. What goes on behind the scenes when you're completely moving a brewery. I know I recently moved into my house, you know, just 3 years ago, but I was living in a house that we were renting for about like 8 years. Even just the move from one house to another, on from one side of town to another, took was like a very long ordeal. I cannot imagine trying to move an entire business in less than a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, personal tips. We need some guidance.
Yeah. Okay. First, what you do is you
hold a yard sale.
You have your friends.
That is the fact.
Well, luckily we moved into a fully furnished house, and that helped. So we took
it was brewery.
I know, but you know, we're around the house.
Right? We're keeping the analogy going.
This isn't a brew house; it's a brew home.
Weird.
I haven't slept there yet, but you know,
we're getting close.
It helped a lot that sunroom was fully furnished and the brew house is already there. So we took over the space as is, and so we didn't have to move our brew house over.
Yeah.
And that helped. So all of that's gonna stay at Colfax. And I don't know, we had a lot of help from our team and from just friendly friends who came in, and we had over the course of that weekend, March 1st was a Friday, March 2nd and 3rd, Saturday and Sunday, we probably had 12, 15 different friends through painting and moving stuff for us. So it was
the best community of people. Yeah. It's unreal.
It took a village.
And beyond that, like I feel like the spirit of Lady Justice is focused on community, and the moment we announced we're moving, it was immediate text calls. Hey, we're free that weekend. How can we help? The way in which people jumped in, the way in which our team was like, okay, so we're not bartending. Are we moving? And we're like, yes. And they were like, fantastic. We're in. Shout out to our very tall members who were like, I will paint the tall walls. And we were like, yes, you will. That's your only option. Thank you so much for your height. Mm-hmm. The speed and candor and excitement of that move also, I think, is what propelled us to wake up and do it again at 6 a.m. the next day. It did happen very quickly, but for breweries of our size, we don't have time to wait, right? Like it's time to get money back in the door, right? So it was how quickly can we move in and how realistically can we open was the conversation that began for us once we knew that the sale was in motion. We had been working on this for a few months. And so once we had everything locked down, it was like, fantastic. We have to tell the team and be like, do you have your moving pants? Because we are moving.
And the good thing is that, you know, oftentimes with these kind of moves, you have all these friends that help out. You serve pizza and beer. Luckily, you already have the beer component taken care of. Just a lot of pizza ordering, right?
We discovered all of the great pizza places. 3242 South.
Yeah, it was actually very funny that we had friends were like, hey, we want, like, when you guys are home at night, let us bring you by some food. What do you want? And we were like, oh, just simply not pizza. Run with it. They did bring pizza. Shout out to them anyway. You know, they really wanted to try a pizza place. And we were like, sure, hell yeah. You know what we could use is pizza.
That's amazing.
Any notable winners in the pizza game since you guys had trial by fire? You got to try a lot in a very short period of time.
That one place called that we ended up going with twice. It's called...
Starts with a P. Hold on.
I thought it started with a J.
I was saying, people in the Denver food and PC always want.
Jimano's?
Jimano's was really
okay.
Good. Jimano's? Okay, good to know.
Cool.
I'll grab you one on my way to the brewery.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
And bye.
Yeah.
That was... Also, quick plug before we get any further. I know that we've got several folks watching live with us on Facebook Live. So if anybody wants to chime in with a question, feel free to do so. We're monitoring the comment section. I see some people have already commented. Scott Achuzio says, congrats on the move and growth. And Hans Jam says, Lady Justice rules.
Yes!
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank
you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We so, agree. But yeah, let's keep talking. I mean, you know, new space, you've got a greater capacity for having people in, got that beautiful patio. Tell us a little bit more about the space itself.
So a big piece for us, and just like Lady Justice in general for folks who don't know. So we are a pretty community focused brewery. So we partner with community members who support women, girls, and non-binary people in the state of Colorado. And we partner with them through grants and then through partnerships. And so for us, our initial space, when we first moved in, we're like, what will we do with all this room? And we learned very quickly, it wasn't enough room for our community. A 45 person capacity tap room was perfect for us to start. COVID hit, we moved to distro, and distro blew us up, which was a really cool issue to have. You know, we look back now and it's just wild to think I used to hand label every can of beer and now we have like a full functioning canning line. And it does that for us. And we have scheduled canning dates and a salesperson, and like it, the growth happened very quickly through that. The move for us, we, as Betsy and I were shopping for a new space, we knew that we wanted to have a spot that could focus on community. And what that meant for us was ADA accessibility, large outdoor space for pride events, the ability to host nonprofits indoor or outdoor, weddings. These were like top requests that we were getting pretty regularly, and we weren't able to fulfill solely based on Colfax's space. A parking lot, game changing for us, huge, especially like including on the accessibility piece, just a huge deal to be able to have. And so that part has been incredible. And the feedback from our community as folks come in, we're like, this is exactly where you're supposed to be. And it's a constant that like the first time I heard it, I cried. And then I was like, I have to go back to handing out beers. Like that part of space feels really authentic to who we are. And we now get to grow into part of our mission that we haven't been able to truly based on, you know, space and capacity limitations prior. And then I think Betsy can talk a little bit more to the brewing side of things, but that big piece for our, like the physical community space has been, we're days in and it's mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which these days is so important to separating and like making your guys like stand out. You already have a built-in community of people that love you and want to support you. And being able to grow that continuously and have a space to do so is amazing. Like, you know, that's what you need in the beer industry these days too. It's not just about the liquid. It's about cultivating that community and making it larger.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of talk, and there will continue to be a lot of talk about breweries that close and how craft beer might be in decline. And for us, we have been fortunate enough to not see that. And to be able to, I think what craft beer has going for it is the space aspect and the community, being able to walk into a space that feels good to you and to cultivate a community around that space, whether you drink beer or not, is something that we want people to be able to do at Lady Justice. And so, yeah, space was a big part of being able to continue to fulfill our mission, but then also sort of be hopefully an example of a craft brewery that's not in decline right now. And why is that? Because we have people who want to hang out in our space. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was there any kind of shift in dynamic in terms of your community when it comes to, you know, being located in Aurora and now being located in Englewood?
Yes. It was really hard, and we tried for the better half of those 2 years to look in Aurora. We love Aurora. We miss it already. That the community that we cultivated there is still very important to us. Aurora is thriving and up and coming and doing a lot of cool things. And that's what made it hard to find a space there. Like, sure. It's actually kind of a cool problem to have. Space-wise, for where Lady J was, we knew we probably needed something turnkey. And that's harder to find in Aurora. It just is. The folks who are there in their spaces love their spaces, right? So it's not easy to expect them to leave. We had invited a lot of our Aurora folks out to come visit, and it's actually been really heartwarming to have them be like, this drive is far and we love it for you, right? That part has been really affirming. Like, shout out to all of our bar regulars. If they ever listen to this, they like they were there for opening day and just like, oh yeah, this feels right. This is what, like, this is it. So it was, we're like, okay, good. We love you. Thank you. Keep coming. I know it's harder, but thanks.
Yeah.
And now it's, now we have a whole, like a brand new whole community to meet. And it's fun. We have some of Sunroom's regulars coming in. We have folks who live nearby coming in, who have just been sharing like stories of like, I remember when this was just a tap room. I remember when this was like a pet grooming space. Like it's wild to have folks share about just like the history of the building. And for us and for our team who is so focused on that community building aspect, it's exciting. Like there's so many new nonprofits we get to meet that are in the Englewood area. Hell yeah. Like let's get to building.
And the cool thing too, is I know that you all are now located right behind the Gothic Theater. So there's a whole kind of infusion of, you know, audience, you know, built-in audience that can, you know, come party with you guys either before or after shows and enjoy some beers that way too.
We've been having a lot of conversations as a leadership team on what we want our cool banner to say that we're going to put up on the fence. That's just like queer beer this way, or like walk around the corner for beers. Yum, yum, yum. Like, but just like trying to think of and we've had folks from the Gothic, like the Gothic staff coming over, which has actually been really fun. They're like, hi, we're so excited you're here. We love your beer. And we're just like, that part's really, really fun. That's another community aspect for us.
You can hear sound check from the brew house. So you can up on brew day and it's just.
Suggest wooks are welcome.
Yeah. Is this, what?
And wooks are welcome.
Yeah, wooks are welcome.
Yeah.
That's the song.
Yeah, jam band, more of a jam band thing.
Well, I think for your banner or whatever, just based off of your all's air guitar performances just now, I think we should just have photos of you all air guitaring.
And, honestly, that would be really funny. That's a very funny
maybe
idea.
Like there's a beer in his hand.
Artists of all availability, of all skill levels are welcome.
He's standing in the back.
That's just obviously representing the lower end of the air guitar skill level. I thought that was like arthritis or something, Betsy. I mean, I know you've been at it for a while.
That's like my fun embarrassing fact is I'm not musically inclined whatsoever, but I did, when Betsy and I were first dating, learn one of her songs. She's a very talented musician, but doesn't have time to play music because she owns a brewery. And I learned one of her songs on guitar for Valentine's Day. And it was truly, I would like stop and be like, like romantic at the time, something I look back on and cringe now, but cute
sentiment's well. Nice.
Yeah good job.
I gotta mention that Hans, who is quite the musician himself, said that Betsy was doing an air banjo, so
well, he knows what I
wanted to note that.
Yeah, that's cheating.
He knows a little personal information about me, and it's that I'm a banjo player.
Yep. Thought I heard a bit of a twang on that air banjo.
Yeah.
kind of getting back to it, Betsy, tell us a little bit about the changes in the brew system, because, you know, obviously that's going to play a factor into operations from a day-to-day perspective. How has that shift been for you?
You know, Tristan, it's the same size brew house, which at first I was like, oh, that'll be nice. And now I'm like, oh my God. We're gonna brew so much. So I'm already like looking at the ceilings and being like, can we fit 15s in here? Because it's a 7-barrel brew house. So I don't know how long that brew house is gonna last in there, just on a volume wise. But so far so good. We're 3 brews in and we've hit targets and it's good. And
do you own the equipment over on Colfax still? Does it, you know, I've heard a couple comments and people,
I own two
like,
7-barrel brew houses,
right?
So he was like, oh, just move one over. No, it's the same size.
People are like, oh, did you bring the brew system? We didn't have to,
which is part of why we were able to get moved and up and running so quickly. So there might be a chance that we upgrade to a 15 at some point, but there is room for activities. We have 3 floor drains, which is a dramatic improvement.
Life-changing.
You can put your arms out and spin around.
Yeah, that was not a truth on Colfax. If you hadn't seen, it was a straight shot brewery, and you could not stick your arms out.
Well, you could. You just hit
centers. Yeah.
And in general, you know, I want to kind of dial it back a little bit more, because for those who maybe don't know your all's full story, you know, I feel like you all have followed a bit of an unconventional path, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I actually think it's a testament to just how nimble and kind of innovative and you all have been from a business perspective to be able to adapt and maybe even stay ahead of the curve in this kind of crazy industry that we're in. Tell us a little bit about kind of the, take us through the timeline of everything. Cause you know, when we first met, I don't know, that was probably like 8 or 9 years ago. I still remember sitting on one of your all's porches and met the whole team. And this was back when you all were homebrewing. But you all started in kind of a unique way. You all had an alternating proprietorship with Factotum. You all debuted by, you know, having 3 beers on their draft lines and sharing time on their brew system and operating, you know, what was kind of a unique model at the time with this CSB community, you know, kind of like a CSA for beer in a sense. And I know that that's continued, but, you know, going through that, going to open up in your all's Colfax location and now moving to this location out in Englewood, it's definitely been a lot of change in a short amount of time.
Yeah, we talk like we seem to run out of space every 2 years, which maybe that's gonna keep being true. Maybe I'm not good at scaling things, but we started Lady J, Kate and Jen and I started Lady J, and we founded in 2014, did fundraising, recipe development, and then we started the CSB community supported beer program in 2016, because even before Factotum, we were in this like 300 square foot space inside of an old car garage, and we didn't have room for a tap room or really anything. We did a one barrel system in there. And so in order to get beer out to people, we came up with this CSB program. And really beer memberships didn't exist in that way. There were mug clubs in 2016, but there weren't bottle memberships really. Like we couldn't find anybody else in Colorado who's doing it. And the state of Colorado themselves, like the licensing people were like, can you do this? And I was like, I don't know. Tell me if we can. So that's how we started. We started with 75 members that first year. And we got all the way up to 125 members who got beer from us every month. And that's when our lease was running out on that space and we were running out of room. We moved in with Factotum and we were actually able to upgrade our brew system to a 4-barrel brew system. So we brewed on our little tiny little upgraded system and then this like little square that we had to like sort of square off legally in their brew house. And yeah, in that space, we learned what a need for a tap room could look like for us. And that's when we were like, well, I think it's time that we open our own space. So we took a pause. We were at Infactotum for about 9 months. And then we went and just like took a break for a few months to look for a space. So we left Factotum in June of 2019 and we found a perfect space right at the beginning of 2020. And the world was just going to be so wonderful and everything was going to be so perfect. And I signed the lease on March 15th, 2020. And then the whole world shut down 2 days later. And that was awesome. And, but you know, that also was just like, what was really interesting about opening quite literally when COVID opened is that we already had a to-go beer model.
Yeah.
And we already had the crawler. We already had the built-in customer base that was used to only getting beer from us by picking it up. And so we didn't have to do as big of a pivot as everyone else. And we had very low overhead at the Colfax location. So we were low risk in what we were doing there in April, 2020. And I think that helped us out a lot, being very risk averse and small and nimble in those first 4 years of operation sort of set us up to be able to just keep baby stepping our way through all of those COVID restrictions. And
we were, there was a lot in that interim time. We also had our former brewer, Amy Sodi, who passed away from cancer 2 Thanksgivings ago. At the time she was brewing for us. And so we were, on top of being COVID conscious, no one could be around her because she was like, I simply cannot get COVID. And so I think the nimbleness of Betsy specifically during that time was a big piece of what kept us afloat. We had the to-go model. We knew that Amy would have to be alone in the brew house. She would text Betsy, I'm leaving. Betsy would go in and be like, okay, what can we move? How, like, what can I can? What can I, like, it was very, very smart moves based on the needs of the team. And that's another piece that I think has been really helpful for us, is that everything we do is based on the needs of the team. As I joke that I am only here because of nepotism, that I'm married to Betsy and the only one who knew how to make a website. And so and that's fine. I'll take that. But for Betsy, Kate, and Jen, they've always had the specific rule of, like, friendship comes first. And I feel like that energy and attitude has been really helpful. Even as Betsy and I have taken over as owners, Kate is still very involved in the brewery. Jen is involved when she can be. And the folks who have joined the leadership team since, it's always been a really, like, healthy and good focus for us to reset. I feel like we have good boundaries and we have really good and honest conversations with one another. And so as we've had folks like Jess and Meg join our leadership team, they've just gotten it. And so I think it's because of the way that we set that up, in that nimble quickness, set ourselves up for success. And so having conversations about growth have been easy because everybody has the same goal, which is like, oh yeah, we have success when the community has success. Isn't that so nice? And so I laughed when Betsy said, like, maybe I'm bad at scaling. I don't think that's the truth. I think we surprise ourselves with the way that our community shows up for us, and we just shouldn't be that surprised. That's kind of the really cool part, is up until this brewery opened, this has been pretty much self-funded and done with, we did some crowdfunding, but then it's been very, very intentionally slow. And there are times that would drive Betsy nuts, where she'd be like, I just am ready to be a frickin' full-time brewer. And then that moment happened and she left her job in 2021 and she's been full-time at the brewery since then, right? Like, it's been super slow building. And now we're hitting these moments of like, oh shit, that payoff is finally appearing in a way that is super refreshing. I don't know why we're always so surprised by how incredible our community is. I joked that Betsy and I have been like, every night when we go to bed, we're like, so this is happening. This is actively happening. This is a real community really making this happen around us. And it shouldn't be shocking. And yet it's pretty shocking. Like, it's very cool to know that slow paced dedication does pay off. And in the grand scheme of things, when we look back on this time, we'll be like, that all happened so quickly. In the midst of it, we're like, this is crawling at a snail's pace. So like, it's cool to see and to think back. I just sent a photo. I have a background photo of us in Factotum when we met Elizabeth Warren. And I laughed that our chalkboard signs with our old logo that I'm wearing on here, I used to hand draw this on stuff. And I was like, this looked so bad. Who let me draw this with chalk? Like, for our business as our branding. Like, I look and I'm like, oh, we would just never do that because we have like a full branding suite. That would be wild. Like, low intentional growth that I'm really, like, I'm impressed watching in my seat of nepotism, watching what Betsy has very slowly and passionately grown. It's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's just human nature to assume or expect some kind of a result immediately, right? And you take this action and you hope to see it come to fruition in the short term. But obviously running a business, having it grow, all those seeds that you guys planted early on have carried throughout the years. And it's fun. I'm sure that's fun to see actually happen, right? Like, all the positive things that you've done actually manifest themselves when over a long period of time, even though I think everybody just assumes, like, not assume, but you expect things to happen like kind of quick and see those results.
Yeah, we had a really fun moment at our opening, where the people that we had met in our first round of memberships through being at Factotum, like the people who used to sit at the bar on Sundays with us at Factotum or at the bar in Englewood. And we hadn't seen them for a long time because Colfax was just really inaccessible to them. And now it turned out that Sunroom was like their regular brewery. And so when we moved in, they lost their minds. But it was just so cool to have, we took a picture, it was like Kate and Jen and Allison and I with Charlie and Mindy. And it was just like, it was so fun to be able to sort of feel like we were like full circle almost in that regard, where we got to, we sort of got our old school community back by being in a more accessible location.
Yep.
But in a very much, in a much different way than we had been originally with them.
That part, like, that's a piece that feels, we just had a talk, Betsy and I went last week to the WeBank, the like National Women's Certification Group. We went to an event for them, and we had a lot of folks who had never heard of us before asking questions, and the questions were truly very honest and very like, I have no concept of women in beer, tell me more about that, those types of things. But someone had asked the question, why do you think you're so successful, which was like a very kind thing, and I was like, what an assumption. But why do you think you're so successful? And I think a big piece is like the slow movement. And I do like, we're learning very quickly, location does matter. So if someone is listening to this and thinking to themselves, like, maybe this isn't happening because of where I am, that could very well be true. Like, asking our community, what do you want? What do you need? And the constant answers are things that they are now able to receive. I need parking. I need the option for food. I want you to be off of a main thoroughfare. Like, we've answered a lot of those questions for folks in this move. And I think it was a big leap for us to take that, like the whole 20 days prior, Betsy was like, what if no one comes? Right. Like, what if simply it's just us there?
Nobody comes to your party. And it's really, that'd be such an expensive party.
The most expensive party.
Yeah. And that, like, it really does make a difference. And so I think if there are folks who are brewers and planning, or brewers who are thinking about making a move, if you're asking that question, we were asking that question of just like, is it like we loved our Colfax location and we loved our Colfax people, and it couldn't ever hold more than 45 people. And so for us, it was, is this our forever space? It can't be, right? It can't be for what our community is asking for. So that felt big and it felt important. And now we're immediately reaping the benefits.
That's incredible. That's, yeah. I mean, the story of your all's regulars kind of coming back is one of the coolest things that I've heard in a while in beer. And I think that that's super, super heartwarming. Kind of on that note, Corey, did you have something?
Oh, no, I was just going to like anecdotally say that, you know, it's interesting how even living in a big city, I still think that a lot of us wind up just gravitating towards familiar places, right? Like checking all those boxes, like you just mentioned, right? Yeah. It's like, we have hundreds of options available for beer, for food, or for entertainment, whatever those things are. But as soon as you find a space that you're like, it's comfortable, I like the people there, I like what they offer, you're just like, I'll dice it up every once in a while, but I'm just going to keep going back to the place that I feel like, I feel at home.
Mm-hmm. Betsy and I are very much those creatures of habit. Like,
we go to the same like five places.
Yeah, we talked about that recently, that we're just like, that's our community, those are our people. When we walk in and we have like a cheers vibe attitude towards us, we're like, why would we literally try anywhere else?
Oh, you praise me when I walk in the door? I'm not gonna go to some
say. testament to our staff, oh my God.
Yeah.
We are that place for so many people. And now we've opened the accessibility piece to it to be that for so many more. Like, again, yeah. our staff are so incredible at what they do. And shout out to Jess for how she screens folks, because she just gets it. Mm-hmm. She knows what's going to be expected of a beer tender at the Lady Justice Brewing Company. And it's like, you better be ready to be a listening ear. You're going to have cheese made for days. Like, But be ready to listen and be a part of the community, because these folks will look at you as a friend.
Mm-hmm. I mean, depending on your insurance, your bar tab's cheaper than a copay. So that's fine, you know?
That joke hits me right in the gut. What a perfect joke. I have an insurance joke. Brian sends them to me all the time. So say less. That's perfect.
You know, we talked a little bit about community and we talked about giving back. I know that you mentioned that was kind of a central pillar of why you all started. Tell us a little bit about kind of a little bit more about what you all have done and done in the nonprofit world. I know that that's been kind of like a driving factor of starting this brewery to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we opened, was to be, Kate and Jen and I were, we were AmeriCorpsists. Shout out to Tristan, AmeriCorps alum. We were doing capacity building and fundraising for a nonprofit in the Denver area during a recession, and it sucked. Like, there's just no money. It was 2009 to 2011, and there was no money for nonprofits anymore. Mm-hmm. And so, but we always went to Vine Street after work and commiserated about how much we hated our job because it just is so hard. And we didn't get paid for it because you're like a professional volunteer when you're in AmeriCorps. We made 10 grand a year. And what we were talking about is like being in AmeriCorps Vista, you choose to volunteer for a nonprofit for up to 2 years. You make the poverty level of the city in which you serve. So we were all making 10 grand a year, and we were still saving money to be able to spend time with each other, drinking beer at our place, at Vine Street. That was our place. Even though we all drank beer at each other's apartments all the time, like for whatever reason, Vine, it was fries, that's why. But like,
it's the garlic mayo.
We're sitting here in a recession. All of us were using food stamps. We were all living at the poverty level. And we were in a packed brewery all of the time, saving like whatever extra money we had, we would spend on like a beer, and we would all split fries, right? And so the conversation was about like, how do we funnel people's beer money into nonprofits? Like, if people are going to drink beer no matter what, recession or not, how is it that we get people to change the way they funnel their money into their community? And so that became Lady Justice, is that idea that we exist as a brewery so that we can get money to donate to nonprofits. And so far we've done over 50,000, and we hit that 50,000 mark right at the end of 2023. Because being in Colfax let us give away more money than we could when we were at Factotum, and more money than we could when we were just doing the membership only production space. And so I'm really excited to see how much more money we can give being in this new space in Englewood, just because we have more people in. And so we have a draft line. Our Pouring Goodness draft line is usually our Sandra Day IPA, and $1 per pour of that goes to a different nonprofit every month. And then we still do our memberships. So we still do our CSB memberships. We sell those annually, and all profit over cost from those sales goes to different nonprofits. We have 4 different nonprofits who are getting money from that this year. And so that's sort of why we do it. And we talk about mission and vision in a brewery and what that means. And for Lady Justice, our entire mission is to give back to Colorado nonprofits that support and empower women and girls. And if we decide that that's not what we want to do, I tell people that we would have to simply close and do something else, right? Like, Lady Justice cannot exist without that mission. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to change that mission. Sometimes we have to change how it looks. And when we moved into Colfax, we really had to change the actual language of our mission statement to fit in a physical space, because that was the first time we had had a tap room of our own. So we had to think about how do we use a physical space to serve our community. So if we stop doing it, we will simply close. And I'll open super for profit brewery.
Yeah, we have a lot of ideas for for profit businesses.
Get rich quick scheme they've been talking about in beer. Are you open a tap room and become a billionaire? That's a thing, right?
I want a recurring series where you just share your get rich quick scheme of the month.
We've been joking that the book we will write when Lady Justice closes will be so incredible. It will be like One of them, I'm just going to share the DMs we get. And you can, everyone can enjoy the treats I receive.
Even yours, Brian.
All right. Okay. Okay. Listen, Elizabeth. Listen.
Brian, those feet pics will finally be revealed.
Yes, finally. Give the people what they want. This is a for-profit feet brewery.
Oh, God.
We got the foot.
Yeah, it's that piece is really important to us, that there's always the concept in nonprofits that, like, we will stop being a nonprofit when the work stops existing. And that's pretty rare that that happens. And so for Lady J, it's like the question that Betsy, Kate, and Jen were answering was that, like, there's never not going to be a need. Why don't we find a way to funnel that need via the way that people want to, which is drinking a beer?
Totally. No, that's incredible. You know, I think one thing that I do want to mention is that you all have also kind of taken that beyond just the giving component. You know, I think first and foremost, congratulations, $50,000. That's insane for a brewery to be able to commit that much, especially a brewery of your all size. But also, I one of the things that has been most inspirational has been just how active in activism in general and in social justice and, you know, speaking up for your community and speaking up for what's right in the brewing industry. You know, that's something that I feel like a lot of breweries have been guilty of jumping on board when it's convenient. But, you know, one thing that I am always certain of is that Lady Justice is there and stepping up whenever it is happening in general. And so, you know, I think that I want to commend you guys on that. You know, one thing that happened recently, I know that you all just provided a huge update on a series of meetings that you all have had with the Brewers Association. And I bring this up because it's incredibly timely right now as we are about to, you know, go into the next round of the Craft Brewers Conference.
Yeah.
You know, you all both, I know that we've both had discussions with our mutual friend, Ren Navarro, who we actually had on the show, talking about her experiences and dealing with, you know, sexist comments, feeling unsafe in the city of Nashville, from feeling unsafe from attendees, and also just problematic sessions, seminars that took place during CBC last year. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the conversations that you all had with Bob Peace and Dr. Jane Nicole Beckham, and you know, what came out of them, and whether you felt that those discussions were fruitful and kind of the path moving forward.
Oh, man. On the whole, we're 1 year out from our experience at CBC, and this is a weird sentence. It's been a moment where for Betsy and I, and for Jess and Meg, for the leadership team, for who went to CBC, I do want to say that I don't think a lot of these changes would have happened had we not addressed them the way in which we did. And so I want to give props to our team for wanting to really do that work. And specifically Jess and Meg, who maybe didn't know that this was going to be the outcome of their first visit to CBC.
Oh my God.
But
when you go to CBC once, you change the whole place.
That's yeah. Cool. Yeah. It's yeah. Like, shout out to them. They're both so, so incredible. The best people in the world.
Go to CBC. They said it'll be fun. This.
Yeah. Like, great. We thought the complaint during that, like, traffic was bad because of Taylor Swift, and what we didn't know. So, but the reality for us is that the discussion that our team had at CBC, and we talked really clearly about this with Bob and Dr. J in our time meeting multiple times throughout this past year. It was not the expectation, but what we were able to authentically do was share, this was Lady Justice Brewing's experience.
Yeah.
We're really clear about that. And our call to action was, if you have had a similar experience or an experience that you feel is important to share, please do so, because you're a dues paying member to this lobbying body, like plain and simple. there were folks who said, like, I'm in full agreement. And to that, we wanted to reply, then show it, like, send a letter, do something, because we're doing this because this is what we stand for. This is a part of our house rules that we wrote with Ren as a team that we made a promise to as a staff to follow through on. And so those conversations happened repeatedly throughout the year. We had 3 meetings with the BA. And as part of our promise from the beginning, we wanted to publicize everything that was talked about in those meetings. And so
three letters, two meetings.
You're right. The first letter was just a letter, and was received and then turned into the meeting. So the changes that the BA has put into place, feel really exciting. We will not be in attendance at this year's CBC because we bought a new brewery instead of going to CBC. It was not like a lot of people are like, yeah, we're not going because Lady J, and we're like, no.
We can't go because we're kind of broke right now.
Yeah. You've heard about buying breweries, but it's like famously not cheap. So we're like, not
expensive. I'm not gonna go there.
The flights are cheap, but the Britney's beer slot machine is $20. Like, I don't need to go. So
the Britney Spears slot machine.
That is very specific to who I am as a person. Thank you so much. So,
I mean, you could just pull a BrewDog and put it all on black and double your earnings.
Yeah, we could do that.
Kidding. We could. Yeah, sure we could.
And that's how half the brewing industry goes broke and closes up shop.
Well, if you wanted to save money, just use the Christina Aguilera slot machine.
Yeah, You're right. Use the
business. Less per pull.
No, but back to the...
So in those conversations for us, what we wrote in our open letter, and it was a 3-point turn into 4-point letter, was focused on the experience that we had and the changes that we wanted to discuss and ideally enact. We didn't have ideal outcomes for those. We didn't have any concept of what we expected, but we shared as dues-paying members to a lobbying body who are attending a conference, this is the level of safety and expectation that we expect from you. And we had to work to keep that conversation going forward. Not that it was like hard or anything. It's just like we're a brewery in the midst of trying to move, talking to a governing body of the legislation.
It's exhausting. I did not want to talk about my experience at CBC with Bob for a while. Because I wanted to have a fruitful, meaningful conversation. I didn't want to be really mad at him. So like we needed space, and then it was Pride Month right after that, which is our, you know, it's gay Christmas. Like it was, I was like, I'm not going to discuss this when I'm having a good time. And so it took us some time to invite Bob into our space. We invited him down to Lady Justice, and he did. And that conversation, honestly, we went zero expectation. Like we didn't know what to expect out of that conversation. And we walked away from it feeling like, okay, actually, I think they are taking this seriously and they do seem to be listening to concerns. And so that was good. And so we followed up, you know. And this is all pinned to our Instagram if anybody wants to read the letters, but we followed up with a second letter.
Facebook.
Yeah. Followed up with a second letter explaining what our conversation was. And then our third and final sort of action around it was we're going to go to the BBA offices in Boulder and wrap this thing up and really talk about what changes have you made since our last conversation. What are we doing going forward? And that was sort of our decision as Lady Justice. Do we still feel comfortable being a member of the Brewers Association? Because there are a lot of people, and I don't blame them, who want to leave their membership, cut all ties, and be done with an organization when they do bad things. And for me, there is work that the BA does that is important to the survival of small breweries. And it's an organization that does provide things like CBC, and gathering at CBC and the connections that you have at those conferences are really important. And so I didn't want to lose that if we had a chance to help make the experience better for us, but also for other people who have been in similar positions to us where they haven't had a great experience at the conference for one way or the other. So it just felt like us, like we have a moment here to actually, we have experiences that we feel needs to be called out and need to be actionable. and the Brewers Association has an opportunity to hear them and do something about it. And they did, to be quite honest. They really did. Our conversation with Bob and Dr. J last month in Boulder was good. And it's good that Dr. J is in that role. And I will continue to have a relationship with them. We're just not going to post our notes about it after every meeting now. Like,
yeah,
we went there with the understanding, like, this is the last public thing we're going to talk about from CBC 2023.
We will continue doing the work. That's all, like, that's so our reality.
We've got more meetings, you know, we have other things set up with Dr. J to talk about down the road, which is great. But it was, because a lot of times when you do this work, there's something, Lady Justice can do this work because this is work we did before. Lady J, so many of us in leadership have done, sort of had hard conversations, done social justice-based work, done community-based work. So this is not an uncomfortable space for us to be in. And that goes back to the mission thing, where when things come up in the industry, sometimes I'm just like, okay, like, we have to talk about this. If we don't, it's against our mission, and we're not living into who we say we're going to be. And this was one of those moments where we had an experience that was shitty, and then we had friends have experiences that were similarly shitty, and we were just like, am I allowed to say that? I'm sorry, I cuss a lot. We're lying on Facebook. I don't want to get you taken down.
By that us.
Yeah. Anyway, so
right fucking ahead.
Yeah. sometimes you do this work and it doesn't seem to pay off, and it's exhausting, and you want to give up and go do something else. And this time around, we actually feel like there has been, you know, a foundational change on the Brewers Association's part that might actually make the conference and the organization as a whole think differently and do differently about some of these issues going forward. And so to us, it feels like, okay, like, this is still a partnership we want to be in, and one that will be meaningful.
Absolutely. Sometimes things happen that are obviously unfortunate. It's really just about, like, okay, once we've brought this to your attention, what do you do about it? Right. Like, things happen. Maybe they could have been prevented. Maybe they couldn't. Who knows? Like, I mean, not this particular instance, but just in general. Right. I think the huge thing is once it's been brought to people's attention and they have the power to do something about it, are you gonna, right? Are you gonna listen, and are you gonna be open to feedback? And that's the most important thing.
I do also want to very specifically call out, if you are listening to this and you are going to CBC and you are a member of the BA, Bob made it very clear that the voting member session mm-hmm. is a place that you can and should go to air your grievances, because that is where you have the entire ear of the board. And he said, I can't stress how rare that moment is. So if you have something you want to address, that is the place to do so. It's in our public letter, but I wanted to call it out specifically. If folks are listening and they have something they want to say, like, do it.
He said that the things brought up at that meeting in particular are what the board put as their priorities to work on. So if you are seeing things happen at CBC 2024 that you don't like, go to the voting member meeting and tell them that.
I do appreciate that. But I also, you know, I think one thing that you all brought up that was, I think, was a point that I think was a little bit more prescient than in terms of the overall scheme of things is accessibility. And, you know, I know that you all mentioned extending deadlines for submissions and for sessions and just having, you know, opportunities to allow a wider array of membership to be able to participate in CBC in a meaningful way. I think you all also help to address the newly formed, is it the Black Brewers Guild? Is that the new organization?
Yeah, the National Black Brewers Association.
Yeah, and you know, I think that that's something that is super important, because yes, you have the opportunity that you just mentioned, but, you know, it's not always, you know, not every single brewery is going to be able to attend that session, you know, and not every single brewery is a, going to be able to attend CBC as a whole. So, you know, I always talk about accessibility and having that be something that we need to focus on is creating more accessibility for people so that it's not just, you know, the people who can afford to fly out to CBC and you know, can afford the time and you know, the money and resources to dedicate to this just one specific opportunity. So I'm really glad that you all did also address some of those other points as well.
Yeah. Shout out to Meg on our team who they're very good at calling that out and noting things very specifically of just like, oh yeah, you can download the slides. That's not how everyone learns. And it was just, that was the end of the sentence. And it was like, oh, hell yeah. Like that's a fact.
I mean, part of the conversations that we've had throughout is if your average member is 600 barrels in annual production, what does that actually look like in terms of like, yeah, spending money to fly out to CBC is a huge chunk of money for a small brewery. But then also like when you get there, are there things that are very specific to smaller breweries that we need to time and ability to discuss? And so that's been a part of the conversations throughout, and that'll be part of our conversations that we continue with the Brewers Association post all of this.
So, yeah, we're very much looking forward to those because I think the accessibility piece is completely tied into that. That most breweries, the average size, right, is 600 barrels or less. And a lot of that is minority owned across the board. And if we're the folks who are traditionally left out of the conversation, what does it look like for us to be included? And we're having real conversation about affordability and scaling and bigger piece things that aren't like, okay, so you're going to take your huge patio and you're going to have this big ass event. Like a lot of things just aren't reality in a lot of the conversations that happen at CBC. And we're really looking forward to having that piece be a very large part of our conversation with the BA moving forward.
That's great. Real quick, I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors of the show. A big thank you to the payroll department. Payroll department has been proud to serve Colorado's many craft brewers for 30 years. With integrated payroll, timekeeping, HR solutions, benefits, and paperless onboarding, the friendly and helpful team at the payroll department can take care of your business while you focus on doing what you do best, making good beer. With the payroll department's new easy-to-use app and online platform, your days of waiting through paperwork are over. You and your employees can easily access all of your information right at your fingertips. Each brewery in our state is crafting something unique that brings together community and makes this place feel like home. Don't let payroll and HR take you away from your passion. The payroll department is here to help. For more information, email marketing@payrolldept.biz. That's marketing@payrolldept.biz, or visit them online at payrolldepartmentdept.biz. One thing that I wanted to touch on before you all leave, kind of on that same note, you know, I feel like you all do such a great job of weaving inclusiveness and social justice into your everyday lives. I know that can be overwhelming and frankly exhausting. I know that you all mentioned it. What tips can you all give to breweries who, you know, want to invest more into that or want to, you know, make that a greater part of the fabric of their operations? Because, you know, we so often see people jump onto the viral movements, stuff that's trendy for the moment, but maybe they feel like they don't know the next steps into making this something that is truly an everyday kind of factor. What tips do you have for breweries that are wanting to get more involved, but maybe don't know how?
My immediate thought is hire Ren from Bee Diversity, change from beer diversity to bee diversity. Truly, it's the focus of investing on your people that ensures that you have the strong foundation and that it's not something built on sand. Our people, our leadership team, Jess, Meg, Laura, Kate, like the daily function of the brewery exists because of the work that everybody is putting in. And so I want to call that out specifically. And I feel like we are strengthened by the external forces of our house rules to continue and commit to the vision and mission.
Yeah, I mean, it really is have a mission statement, and your mission statement isn't that you make good beer. Like, your mission statement is who you are as a company and the community that you want to serve and how you're going to connect those things together. And once you know that, you can start making decisions based on that. And a lot of it comes, we get the privilege to sit here and talk about all this stuff because it's our company and we're in charge of it. And I'm not going to get fired for standing up for somebody, right? But there are people who work in breweries who don't have that agency. Yeah. And so brewery owners really need to focus on, you know, who is your community? The ones that you employ and the ones that drink with you.
Thumbs up.
That me?
Good job.
And then who's your community? Like, customer base and employee base. But then also, like, why? Like, why do you give a shit about these people? And really, like, think about, like, why do I care about this community? What about it is special to me? What do I want to see happen to these people in the future? What do I want to see? How do I want my brand to help those people get there? So there are baby steps you can take, even if it is just like, hey, I'm going to host a block party and just get to know people. Or we're going to make a t-shirt and just give, you know, $5 from the sale of that t-shirt out the door. You can start in baby step sort of ways. And then also there's large umbrella things that I think ownership and management need to just put themselves out there and do. It can be scary and it can be uncomfortable, but if you're serving your community in authentic ways and showing up for them and having conversations with them, it's going to be okay.
It's the authenticity piece is really useful, and it also gives you a guiding light to follow. For Lady J, if it is not promoting the status of women, girls, and non-binary people in the state of Colorado, it gives us a very easy, oh no, that doesn't fit our mission. But let us introduce you to someone who it does. So that's another piece for us, that craft beer is not about competition. It is about community. Even in a very saturated city like Denver, we don't feel like we're in competition with people, right? We all win when we all win. That's the end of the sentence. That's the truth. And so, hey, I see that you reached out because you want to raise funds for, you know, this shelter. That's not our thing, but let us introduce you to like 4 breweries who love putting dogs on their cans, right? Like, that's a reality that's really useful for us. That guiding light gives you the ability. All breweries experience the request of, can I have, from the community? And it's really useful to be able to say, no, but let me introduce you to someone who can give. If you don't know the answer the way that Betsy just described it, if it's like, you know, I want to find a nonprofit that I partner with, and I like don't know who my community would show up for, ask. Blow yourself away with asking on Instagram stories, hey, what's a nonprofit you love? See if there's a repeat and give to that. If you have a family member who has a medical issue, if you have something that's touched your life personally, that can be weaved into a part of your story that becomes the part of the way in which you give.
And another thing I'll say that we're going to start doing because we have the space now is offering just like, we're talking about like once a month, let's just host nonprofits in the tap room that we like. And that doesn't necessarily cost us extra money, but we give, you know, the nonprofit a table and just the ability to just be there and hang out with the community and have them invite your staff, invite the people who are part of your nonprofit community, invite them to come have a beer and let's just like hang out in the space. So it can be as simple as that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be extra work. And it won't feel like extra work when it's authentic. And like the intro to this question of like, how do you do this when you're feeling very burned out is so real.
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have to take a step back and wait 3 months to return an email about peas. Like, sometimes you do. And that's okay. It doesn't have to happen. A lot of work has to be done very slowly and intentionally.
And again, shout out to having a strong team that is also very useful. Shout out to our team in particular, who does a good job of like, there's nothing better than when I'm like, if I get one more DM about this, and Kate is always like, I'll get in our DMs. She is an agent of chaos. It's an incredible request. I've let her do it a few times, and then I'm like, maybe I won't do that again, but I love it. It's You have the team that is able to step in and lift you up when you need a little break, and you're able to do the same for them in the future. That stuff really makes a difference. So again, you cannot build a house on sand. So make sure that you have a strong team of people who believe in the mission with you. Sorry to our cat. He's joining the conversation. That is Basil. We knew it was going to happen. There we go. Sorry.
Speaking of one of your leadership team, Laura just wanted to comment that and say hi. She's been listening in as well. And
hi, Laura. Do you hear Basil?
Oh, that's Basil.
He's a special boy. Laura, we love you so much. Laura's our director of operations and keeps this place a running, baby. Blessings.
Corey, did you have something else that you wanted to chime in with?
Oh, I was gonna say hell yeah after the afterwards, but then the cat beat me to it. So
he's constantly yelling it. So yeah, that tracks.
I'll just do this.
Okay. Well, anything else that I know that we're getting close to the end of our time here, but anything else that you're wanting to kind of give people a look, you know, in terms of looking forward to the next horizon for Lady Justice, what's what can get people excited?
Okay, listen, we have 20 tap lines at this new place, and I'm gonna fill them with barreled age ESBs. I'm gonna do it, and I'm gonna never gonna stop.
Please don't.
Oh, yeah.
I disagree.
I listen to like barrel aged beer. So
barrel aged beer is very unpopular opinion in this world, but you know,
the animal now.
It's me. I guess.
Well, for folks who haven't had a chance to visit you guys yet at your new location, the address is 3242 South Acoma Street, Englewood, Colorado. There's also a little thing called Google Maps that you can utilize, but be sure to get out there and visit Allison and Betsy out at Lady Justice Brewing. Truly love what you guys do. Such a big fan of you all as people, as business owners, as brewers, and as just community members. So thank you all so much for everything. And thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yes. If you're around April 6th and 7th, that is our big kickoff opening party. So it will be lit. The 7th will be the final championship. Championship's not the word. I'm not a sports gay, but the women's NCAA game will be that day.
It's a championship.
Championship. I did it. Thank you so much. It will be lit. So just join us the 6th and 7th. That will also be very fun.
Well, thank you all so much once again. This has been episode 110 of the Porchcast. Big thank you to our sponsors, OnTap Credit Union and the Payroll Department. Be sure to check out both to help your breweries grow. And big thank you to Bryant and Corey, as always, for helping to make this ship run smoothly. So we look forward to seeing you guys soon.